Morning.
I heard Jim Rose resigned today, and I just want to say publicly that I sincerely appreciate his hard work and efforts. He's been exemplary to me, and I think for the fans of Nebraska, he's got great passion for this program. And it's sad to see that he's stepping down. He's a great guy. He's a class act. He's been outstanding in terms of our support here. So I just want to wish him the best. He's a great guy and a great fellow, and I just can't say enough great things about Jim Rose. So with that being said, the Kansas State game is interesting in a lot of ways. This is a good football team, an interesting team. They play the 34 defense. They're one of probably the only team in the Big 12 that plays 34 defense. They do an excellent job there. They have the West Coast offense. They do a nice job dispersing the ball, spreading it out, running it, throwing it. The quarterback is excellent. Josh has done, I think, an incredible job performing in their offense at a very early age in his career. So that's something to note. It's something to be concerned about as we go into this game. Their defense has been very sound, and their kicking game just jumps out at you when you watch them on film. They're leading the country in punt return, kickoff return, so they're very solid in every phase of their game. Last week's game, I think they were right in it last week. They had a couple bad breaks at the end there where they didn't convert. A couple turnovers cost them, but they're an outstanding football team, and there's a lot of great players on that team that we got to deal with this weekend. So that being said, I'd be more than happy to answer your questions.
When you guys get to 6-6 and become bowl eligible, how realistic is it to get if you think it's 6-6 right?
Well, I think it was tough last year for Kansas. I think their situation was 6-6 a year ago, and I think they were fighting for a bowl at that point. So, it'll be tough. I will say that it will be tough. It's just going to matter about where the openings and the slots are at, and I guess a lot of those decisions are made by the athletic directors and by the bowl representatives themselves. So we're going to keep fighting for it, though. We're optimistic that if we can get to 6-6, we'll be in that position, though. That's awfully quiet here today. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The school's received a lot of attention nationally, maybe not for the greatest reasons. Number four, the BCS Kansas Beach guys, everybody's talking about Nebraska. Is there a concern for the long-term effects that this stretch could have with this program?
Just clarify the question a little bit more. Start over again, if you wouldn't mind. I'm sorry.
No problem. Nationally, people are talking about the University of Nebraska. Kansas, who's number four in the BCS,
right.
Beachy guys, and they're not talking about Kansas. They're talking about Nebraska. They're talking about your job. They're talking about those things. Are you worried about the long-term effects of this stretch that you guys have been on?
Well, the only thing I'd say is that we're disappointed. Last week's game was heartbreaking in so many instances. We're just trying to work out of it, and we're kind of at the same juncture we were after the Texas game. We had a tough loss to Texas, had a tough loss to Kansas, and we're trying to come out of it to the best of our ability. So I think kids are resilient. I think teams and programs are resilient. I think you can look back in the college football history and look at all the programs that have bounced back after having kind of a poor year and not the year that they wanted to have. So I think that's, it's poor. I think teams always come back. They find themselves. I think I look at Michigan going 0-2 to start the year, and now they're 8-2. I think I stated that earlier in the year. I said to our football team, I thought they'd be right in the hunt. So everyone's going to have their ups and downs, but we're disappointed, obviously.
Does the perception of how people see this university and this job change, though, when you go on a historic skid like this?
I don't have the answer for that. I'm not out there surveying. All I can tell you from a coach's standpoint and how we work and how we look at football, we see a lot of ups and downs across the country. It's pretty notable, I think, in this era of football and parity and the way things have changed. I think people recognize that. I would think. I can't. It's more hypothetical than anything. I know there's some people that have hypothetical questions around here. But go ahead.
Hey, Coach, it's going to be senior day on Saturday. Can you talk about what some of those seniors in this group have meant to you to be with you here for these 4 years?
Yeah, I think these kids have been great. I'm disappointed for them. They didn't have the success they wanted to at the end here, but they've been great. They've been a lot of fun. They're great guys. They're great kids. They've worked hard. They poured their heart and soul in this, their preparation, the hard work. You go back and you think about all the efforts and all the time and energy that they put into a program from the time they're recruited to the time that they're seniors. It's phenomenal. I mean, and you got to respect that. And I certainly appreciate all their efforts. And it'll be great to see them be honored on Saturday. And there's a lot of great kids, and I hope the best for them. You know, I hope that we can do something positive for them on the way out. Yeah, I can. It's been tough. They've gone through a coaching change for, you know, a few of those fifth-year seniors and the fourth-year guys, and some of those guys come in new with us from the very beginning of the time that I started here. And, you know, the guys like Lance Brandenburg, you know, he's just been a great kid. You know, he's sacrificed a lot, sacrificed a redshirt year, played straight through in terms of, you know, his eligibility. He's never complained one time about redshirting or saving a year to enhance his career. So he's poured out a lot in terms of his sacrifice. And all those guys, Bo Rude, what he's done here in this program, the leadership that he's displayed in 5 years of time, I think has been outstanding. I think a lot of people look up to him and his work ethic and how he's gone about his business. Ben Eisenhart has just been a tremendous player for us, special teams player that kind of made his mark, and now he's playing more at the safety position. He's kind of the heart and soul of the Nebraska kid on our defense. That's great to see. And for all those kids, you know, I can go on and on. They've been great. They've been fun to coach. I love those kids. I just wish the best for them. I really do. They're great kids.
What do you say to them
Oh, I don't know. I haven't sat down. And I usually at the end of the week kind of put my thoughts together before I approach or visit with the team. Normally on Friday night when I talk to the team, I'll have something to say.
So what about
your
advice about his career and his struggles off the field?
Yeah.
And he's had his success catching the ball this year. Just talk about how he's come back and finished out this year.
Well, I really admire Mo. He's been through a lot of difficulties, as you've mentioned. He's been through a lot of personal issues off the field, you know, in terms of family situations and friends and things of that nature. And for a young man to handle the things that he's had to handle in his own personal life is commendable. I admire him. He's hopefully going to be an inspiration for some of the kids that he's worked with off the field. He's done some community service as part of his program to go reach out and extend himself to the people in the community. And I think he's done a great job in that. And I think kids look up to him and will look up to him in terms of what he's done for them and the message that he has for them. But it's just been fun to watch him grow. You know, and it's been fun to watch him change and take things seriously and mature and get to a point where, you know, he can recognize where he can go in terms of football and where football can lead him in his life. So I wish the best for Maurice. I think he'll have a good opportunity on the next level, and hopefully he can excel and stay there for a long time.
What did that team show you against one of the best defensive backs in the country?
Yeah, well, it showed me a lot. I think, you know, when you get matched up against a high-caliber corner like Talib, I think you're going to have an opportunity to be recognized and be written up by the pro scouts as a guy that made big plays, you know, whether it was in the red zone or on the field. Wherever it may be, he made those big plays against a high-caliber player. So that can only speak positive in terms of his performance. And I think the consistency of playing well when your team is struggling, I think, speaks volumes as well. I think when you struggle, you know, there's a tendency sometimes to let down in other areas, but he's just emerged stronger. And he's emerged a little bit better, you know, through the adversity that we've gone through. So a lot of credit to him in terms of his focus and coming out prepared and playing hard. So I got nothing but great things to say about Mo.
Hey Bill, how is your staff holding up? What are your feelings for them time where there's probably some uncertainty among those guys?
Well, the first thing that sticks out is their families, you know, what they're going through. I think as a coach in this business, when the highs are high, they're great. And, you know, the lows, when they're low, it's hard. It's hard on the families, and it's hard on the kids and the children and all the siblings. But you know, we've got a strong group of women, a lot of good wives on this staff. They're good people. They're really good people, and they're weathering the storm. You know, it's not fun to go to school and to be ridiculed and things of that nature. You know, but you know, I will say this: the vast majority, I would say the overwhelming majority of Nebraska fans have been great, and they recognize that we've struggled, and they've recognized that, you know, these kids are in tough positions, and I think their hearts go out to what's going on. That's what I see. And, you know, there's a lot of negativity as well out there, and that's understandable because Nebraska fans want excellence and they want greatness, and we're about that, and we didn't do that, so we understand. But, you know, and the hardships of families, they hurt. They hurt. It's tough on them, and you just have to work through it the best that we can. We've got a lot of good people and a lot of good support within the staff. So the main thing is stick together, stay together, and keep working hard for the towards the next game.
Is there any vast majority?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Steve. Steve, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Is there any thought that resigning might take pressure off those fans?
No, this type of staff, they don't have any quitting them, Steve. You know, they're gonna keep fighting, and they're gonna keep trying to put out the best product they can. They're gonna coach these kids hard, and they love these kids. You know, it's just unfortunate, you know, that fans and people don't get the opportunity to watch coaches bring kids to their homes and embrace them, even in tough times, you know, and help them out and try to understand them. These wives have gone out of their ways. They've gone above and beyond the call of duty and having players over to their homes, opening their houses up to these kids and welcoming them and helping them out in tough times. I think you should talk to the players about that. And I think there's no one that's been any better than this staff and the spouses that are in this situation helping these kids. But that term resignation is not in our vocabulary.
You said the vast majority of Husker fans have been supportive. What examples can you give us from
that? Oh, gosh. The number of emails I receive on a daily basis, very, very supportive. I think it kind of reflects the values of Nebraska fans and what they're about. A lot of people just write in, I mean, letters and emails and things of that nature. A lot of positive things in regards to what we're going through. And they, you know, they voice, you know, their opinion about they like to see it better, and they know the struggles we go through. But there's a lot of understanding out there as well. So, you know, that's a part of it.
How tough is it for you coach to stay the course mentally? And not get paranoid.
Oh, I don't. I just keep moving along. I just do the best I can. It's a life lesson, and I've been through this. This is the third time I've been through, you know, a tough situation like this. And I think each time you go through it, you learn a little bit about yourself. You learn a little bit about, you know, your players, and you try to understand it, and you try to find where, you know, could possibly, you know, slipped or went wrong, or, you know, those questions, you keep going back. I don't have time to go back right now to do an inventory and everything, but in time, you know, we will. That's what the off season is about.
Is there a point where you just want to scream? You just want to
tear in? No, not really. I really don't. I think I'm getting older. I get frustrated just like anybody else does. And I'm competitive, or as competitive as anyone. But no, I don't get into any kind of rash emotion or anything. You know, we just try to do the best we can, honestly. And that's all you can ask of your staff and your players. And it's hard. It's embarrassing to lose five straight at a place like Nebraska. You know, I can only imagine what other coaches go through when a top program in the country slides. And, you know, I understand that. And, gosh, I don't think we wanted to do this. I don't think these coaches purposely told these kids, hey, don't go out there and tackle today, or don't go out there and rush the passer. That wasn't happening. I think our guys, they coached to the best of their ability, and they did the best that they could, and it hasn't been good enough at this point right now. And hopefully Saturday we can rectify that.
Can you believe this is
all happened, you know, 2 months ago. We're talking extension, disguise, well, days back.
One thing I learned about football, JJ, is that anything can happen. Anything. When you think it's all going to go right, okay, it can go the other way. When you think it's going to go the other way, it goes right. So, again, we talked about this last week about, you know, good fortune and good breaks of the game and things of that nature. It's a game. You know, it's a game. And I understand here in Nebraska, it's more than a game. It's life, okay? It's the most important thing to Nebraskans. And I share that passion. And I understand it completely. But it's hard to go through the type of situation we're going through at this point right now. And like I said, we're just trying to do the best we can.
Hey, Bill, following up on what Steve was asking, say that there's no resignation. It's determined yesterday that no one has come to even ask for a resignation. Mm-hmm. But if they did and they said to pay more than your buyout, would you step down at that point?
No, I'm not stepping down, and I'm not resigning. And I think you need to understand that this isn't about money. I didn't get into coaching for money or buyouts or anything like this. I think it's important, I think, to look back to the time when there was a contract extension, and you guys were asking me, what about all this? Can you imagine all this money? And I told you that day, I don't know what date it was before the Wake Forest game, I said I didn't get into coaching for money. I think if you get into coaching for money, you're getting into it for all the wrong reasons. I do. I think it's, you know, it's not what I'm about. It's one thing that, you know, to have financial security for your family, and there's a business aspect to it, but I didn't get into it for that. That's my philosophy. My philosophy is to get into coaching to help people and help kids get to where they want to go. And I've maintained that, and I've maintained that integrity about coaching since the day I've gotten into it.
Are you worried about the message you're sending players if you do resign?
Well, I think there is a message if you do resign that you've quit on your football team. And there's no quit in this staff for our team. We're going to keep plugging away and keep pushing. And keep coaching and try to help these kids get through this. And I think that's the life lesson in all of this. You know, there's no quitting this staff, believe me. And again, like I said, we're not pleased. We're not happy. We're disappointed. We're heartbroken. But we got to work through it. And we got to, you know, bow up and prepare and get ready for the next game. So, you know, you just got to maintain a focus and you got to shift gears and change your mindset and get back into your preparation because nobody else really cares. You know, Kansas State, they don't really care right now what we're going through, you know. In fact, the more distraction there is, the more they like that. So it's important for us to maintain a focus and really work as hard as we can to put the best product out there on the field.
Your guys have eligibility left, Bill. Did they ask many questions about the future or next year?
Never heard anything like that. I've never heard a question like that, so...
You guys have talked a lot about getting better each week through this stretch. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest change you guys have made as a coaching staff, say, after the Missouri game to where we're at now? Maybe in terms of the preparation or what you're doing to get these kids ready for game day?
Oh, we've done a lot. Schematically, we've done a lot. Coverage-wise, we've changed up coverages. We've changed up fronts, pressures. I think each week we have a whole new set of things for them to do, but from our core package, not a complete departure from what we do, but things that augment and complement what we do, and that's what most programs do. That's what we see on a week-to-week basis from our opponent. So that's not different. I think practice structure is the same structure that we had here last year when we were 9-3 before the Big 12 championship game. No different. It's no different. So you just try to improve your practice habits and try to prove your players through that, through the weekly preparation. That's all you can do as a coach.
You mentioned the landscape of college football, a program like Notre Dame, maybe this weekend. When you're a big-time program with this tradition, would you show a chink in your armor? Is it hard to come back from something like that? Can you ever regain something like that?
I think the question was alluded to earlier about the national perception and how you can come back from a game like a tough loss like that. I just think it is difficult. There's no doubt about that. There's difficulty in that, and there's a lot of life lessons in that as well. But I think players are resilient enough to see that there's opportunities in the next two games. I know that. I know our kids see that. Our kids are resilient. You know, they see college football. They study it probably more than I do. When they go home, they probably watch three or four more games than I do a week. And, you know, they love the game, or else they wouldn't be playing it. So they see it differently than I think we see it. I think they have more, because they're young and they're resilient, they bounce back a lot quicker, you know. You know, they don't sit around and wallow. It's amazing. Our youth right now, they're an interesting group of kids. They're on to the next thing. And football's important to them, but then the next thing is important to them, whether it's school, whether it's, you know, the relationships with other people. They move on quickly. They don't sit around like coaches do and analyze everything. You know, they come in and get the message from the coaches, and they move on. I mean, if you put yourself through their, you know, through their paces, if you put yourself in their shoes and how they go about their business, it's commendable, especially with everything else they've got to deal with. So it's interesting. And like I said earlier before, they're savvy. They're media savvy guys. And these kids, they understand, you know, where they're at. They're not pleased. They want to go out and perform well. And when they don't, they hurt. But, you know, boom, they're on to the next thing. You know, they don't sit around, you know, feeling sorry for themselves. That's probably the best analogy. And, you know, the leadership on our football team, they try to pick each other up and they try to encourage each other and be positive and help that cause.
There seems to be some people who believe they don't want to be here next year or beyond. Do you want to be here?
Oh, that's not true. No, that's not true at all. I don't know who those people are, but I sincerely want to be here. I think I've indicated that when I signed a contract extension that I wanted to be here. If I didn't want to be here, I wouldn't have signed the extension. So, no, I love our team. I love our kids. I like Nebraska. I love Nebraska. And you know, I'm trying to do the best I can right now. So, yeah, absolutely I want to be here. No, I don't think so. Just because, you know, kids are looking for an opportunity. They want an opportunity to play. Some of the kids that we've recruited and talked to, they see opportunity. They see, you know, they see a window of opportunity where they can come in and they can play and they can help and contribute to a winning football team. They see that, and they want that opportunity. So, yeah, is it tough if you lost a top national recruit like we have? Yeah, that's tough. But you just got to keep recruiting. Pardon me?
Your side.
Yeah, it's tough. It's disappointing to lose the top guy, and then realize that you gotta shift gears, and you gotta go ahead and find somebody else. You know, and then there's, like I said on recruiting day, I've said this many times. You've got to move on to the next guy. You know, that's just how it is. You gotta move on. You gotta find the next player. There will always be the next player. That's for certain.
Does scouts creep in for you or the coaching staff about coaching abilities when you're in a five-game losing skid?
No. We're disappointed. But doubt? No. No. Not at all.
How's Cost doing? What do you tell him after a game like Saturday?
I visited with the defensive staff and Cause and everyone, you know, and I just try to encourage them, you know, to continue to work hard and press on and make the necessary adjustments and go through the film and analyze it and learn from it. That's all you can do. There's not much else you can do. I think we've had, it's unfortunate sometimes when things get snowballed and start steamrolling on you. It's very hard when you're on the short field. I think we're on the short field seven times on defense. You know, I think three times we were inside the 20. We turned the ball over, I think, inside the 25-yard line three times, or the drive start was inside the 25 three times. And when you put a defense on a short field like that, and things start to steamroll and have an effect, it's tough. And, you know, in the final analysis, people just want to look at the score and say, oh, there's 76 points. Well, yeah, that's true. That is reality. And we've got to do better. But there are other circumstances that lead to those 76 points. Now, we didn't do a very good job on offense. We put up some numbers, but we didn't do the job that we should have done in securing the football. You know, we turned the ball over, I think, three or four times inside the 50 on the short field. And you can't continually do that against a good team like Kansas that has the ability to score, you know, at any range and it's hard. That's putting the defense in a bad position. So we take that loss as a football team. We don't point to offense or defense or special teams for that matter. We just look at it as ourselves. You know, we got to get better in every aspect. We got to get better in every area. So when those types of games happen, like it did at Texas Tech that one year, our first year, we threw some picks inside the 50, or I can't remember exactly how many times we turned it over on the short field. But boy, when they get on a roll and get momentum, and then you're trying to play catch up and not sit on the ball, then you're vulnerable, and that's what happened down at Kansas. I know I got no excuses. I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm just telling you the reality of that. That's the reality of what happened, and we've got to get better. No question. No, it's an interesting question. I think somebody asked that. I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, but it's a great question, Kurt, because you're searching and you're trying to grasp for anything you can. You're not grasping for straws, but you're grasping for an idea or a concept or something that can get our team going and get them juiced and get them rallied. We felt, you know, that starting fast would be one of those things. And by gosh, we did start fast. And then we took the lead, then they answered, then we answered and took the lead, and they answered. And then it seesawed there early on in the first quarter. So, you know, that's a part of it, you know, and it's starting fast and finishing strong. And, you know, the things that you preach at a coach that are important. But it really, at the end of the day, it comes down to details. It really comes down to detail in your work, your execution, your fundamentals, because those are the things that went for you in the end. Say again? I think it was. Our team rallied around Joe. Like I said, there were some throws I think he'd love to have back. But for a backup quarterback to go in against the number 8 team in the country and throw for over 400 yards, that's pretty commendable. But I know that the turnovers, they hurt us. And he realizes that. And, you know, for his first start, you know, and put in a situation that he was in where we kept trying to challenge the score and to try to keep pace with what was going on, that's a tough predicament for any quarterback, whether he's a starter or a backup. If you can only imagine putting yourself in that role and trying to go through what he had to go through, that's a tough ordeal.
So much of that element of surprise is gone now that Kansas State will have some film of Joe and what you guys are trying to do with him?
I don't think any different. Like I said last week, you know, our core is our core, and we will change accordingly each week. But I don't think it was any... I don't think we changed dramatically against KU. We were still effective. I think we still put up some positive yards against a pretty darn good defense. You know, you put up 480 yards and 39 points against that type of defense. That's saying a lot, because we've got a lot of respect for Kansas' defense. Okay, guys. Thanks.